Rock and roll. So I'm Wyatt Whipple. I'll be hosting today. We got Caleb Emery here.
What's up?
Another actor. We had another actor.
Just another actor.
So we met on a set maybe a year and a half ago.
Is that how long it's been? Yeah, I was trying to think of it today, and I was like, it's been
or no, that was like March. No, that was like March of last year. So a year ago. Caleb and I just clicked, I would say, more than, no offense to anyone else, but I'd say Caleb and I clicked the best, and we've stayed in touch. Of course, Caleb is very successful at what he does. We were just talking about all these people you know. Of course, you just did a podcast yourself, or like you're starting your own. I guess you would call it a podcast, right?
Yeah, it's like more of like an interview video type thing for my YouTube channel that might segue just straight into a podcast as well.
Okay.
Right now we're going to stick just straight to video and then we'll see what goes from there.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So you were just meeting with Logan Lerman.
Yeah, my first episode with Logan Lerman.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. He's a cool guy. We're shooting a show in New York together. So I kind of cornered him into the my first episode.
Right.
I was like, listen, if you don't do it, we're not going to be friends anymore, and I'm going to quit the show.
No, that's gave him the ultimatum.
We had a lot of fun, though.
That's great. So do you want to talk about, or can you talk about that what you were shooting in New York exactly?
Yeah. The show's called The Hunt. It's an Amazon show. It should be coming out, I think they said spring of next year. It basically revolves around, it's based on a true story after World War II and the Nazi death camps and all that stuff happened. The U.S. government actually brought in Nazis to work as, like, U.S. spies and, like, killers and stuff like that. I'm probably getting some of this wrong, but for the most part, that's what happened. And this group of hunters are trying to hunt down these Nazis and kill them to get rid of them and... for our country's like sake, basically.
So the U.S. government hired Nazis, and then there was a different group of the U.S. government who was trying to kill these Nazis?
No. So like, for the show's sake, one of the main characters is played by Al Pacino. Al Pacino's character is an escapee from the death camps. He headed this group together that went on to try to find these people and kill them. So it was like, they're not part of the government. They're not like, they're pretty much like criminals because they're going around killing people.
Okay, got it.
But they're doing it for a good reason.
Okay. Yeah. And so what role do you have in that?
So I play, my character's name is, get this, it's Booty Hole.
Booty Hole.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Booty Hole. Kind of has a nice ring to it.
Booty Hole. His actual name is Arthur McGuigan. But
it's not on his birth certificate.
No, it's just Booty Hole.
Booty Hole.
but I play Logan Lerman's best friend.
Okay.
In the show as well.
Nice.
With another one of our co-stars, Henry Hunter Hall, plays another one of our best friends.
Henry Hunter Hall. I know that name.
You might.
Triple H. Can't miss
different
it.
Triple H.
Okay.
Not the wrestler.
Damn. Like, I knew
close.
I had it mixed up.
We could totally play the same age and best friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what was I just going to ask? Are you in like the group of hunters?
Well, first off, it doesn't come out till spring of next year.
Okay. So you'll do us like that. Okay, that's fine.
Well, you know, I just, it's called job security and I haven't finished filming. So, let's not get me written out.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. All about that moolah, baby.
But it's a great show. Like, I don't watch a lot of TV, and I don't watch a lot of, shows in general. I'm more of like movie oriented because commitment, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You get into a show and you're like, oh man, I missed three episodes. Now
I'm
too far behind.
Right.
This show, after reading the scripts, it's going to be a good fucking show.
That's awesome.
Can I cuss on this
podcast?
Yeah,
of course.
It's going to be a good fucking show. I'm going to be a big fan of this show, like personally.
Yeah,
I know what happens. I'm still gonna be amazed.
I'm always baffled at that because I look at like all the actors on Game of Thrones and I'm like, man, they're missing all this, like, the best TV.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, they
Like, some of them might be fans of their own show, though. Like, this situation, I feel like I'll be a fan of this show.
See, and that's awesome. That's awesome that you're able to do that, because I feel like I watch myself, and I'm just like, I can't watch this. I hate
every part that I'm a part of.
Okay, but you'll still try to follow. Like, you'll just close your eyes and be reading the script along, with the scene, so you don't have to watch yourself.
I'll just, like, know when I come on, and then just, like, go make some food, and then come back.
Right, because it's like, I already know what happens in that scene. Yeah,
exactly.
And so what did the booking process look like? Can you talk about that? Like, what it took and, like, what got you in the door? Like, everything.
Well, this situation, it's a little bit of me being stubborn and, like, scared of how this whole thing went down. Basically, I sent in a tape. Like, I got an audition request from my agent. We taped for it. We sent it to New York. They were looking for, like, local hire, basically, for this role. For the majority of this show was a lot of local hire people, because it was in New York and a lot of actors are based in LA and New York and they split their time. So we sent a tape in. They liked me. They asked me to do a callback, but it was going to be a callback in person in New York. I had never been to New York ever at that time.
When was this? This was pretty recently.
Maybe February.
Oh, beginning of
February.
Okay, so you had never been.
I had never been to New York.
Okay.
Like, this, shooting the show is the first time I've been to New York. So when they asked me to do the callback, like, a lot of stuff ran through my mind. I was like, man, if I fly all the way to New York, my agent was like, listen, we want you to go if you want to go, but you can only go for a day. Like, you can only be there for 24 hours. We need you back here. Because I was reading for, like, a bunch of pilots at that time for, like, ABC and NBC and, like, a lot of very big roles that I couldn't, like, miss out on. So I said, I was like, I don't know, like, let me think about it. Not that I didn't want the show. I knew Jordan Peele was the producer, and I knew Al Pacino was the lead. So, like, those two things by itself, I was like, this is a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
So I went through all the pros and cons of being like, I could go there, like, choke up and, like, mess up the audition, and I just wasted, like, $700 on a plane flight. And I was in New York for less than a day, and I don't even know how New York works, so it's probably going to, like, that's a risk in general. So all this stuff went through my head. I was like, my tape is really, really good. I believe in my tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I eventually said, no, I'm not going to go. I was like, I don't want to go. And they're like, well, you probably won't book this because you're not going to go to New York to the callback. Like, they're not going to hire you. So I didn't go. And then they called back again. And they wanted me to come to another callback. And I said no, again. And then the day of the callback happening, I remember my manager called me and she was like, hey, I just talked to the casting. You're very much still one of their top picks, even though you're not there. And I was like, that made me feel better. But eventually came down to the fact of, like, after all the callbacks, I guess, that happened, they still wanted me.
That's, like, a nice feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I got a call that night from my manager, and she was like, I'm just going to let you know, you're their number one pick. You're, like, you're getting sent up to the producers, and you have to be, like, studio. For those who don't know, you have to be studio approved before they can make really an offer for you to be in the show.
So you mean you'll go through producers, like, you'll go through the casting directors, you'll meet with them, then you'll meet with producers, and then you have to go through the studio after they approve you? Or is it backwards? Is it like, hey, you go through the casting director, then the studio is the one saying, hey,
well, yeah, basically, we like you audition, and then, like, right, you do the callback and you do all that, and, like, during the callback time, normally, like, a producer or director is, like, in those sessions. Once, like, they're like, okay, we want Caleb for this role,
right,
then they have to send it to the studio to be like, and they they do their, like, thing, like, make sure you don't have any conflicts of, like, networks, and, like, make sure you're not, like, you know,
a criminal, a murderer. Right, like,
so they don't, like, sign you on for the show and be like, wait, he killed eight people,
and right, or
like,
that you haven't aborted a child in Alabama or anything, yeah, like
Alabama,
that,
Alabama,
right,
or Georgia, make sure you haven't aborted children. Oh, that's very topical right now.
Yeah, we'll glaze right over that. We'll just keep talking actor stuff.
But, that is actor stuff, because we work a lot there.
Wow.
But
good point.
Um, Yeah, so
once so you get you get approved by the studios. Yeah. They make sure you're all good.
So my manager called me and she's like, you know, that's happening, but you've pretty much booked it. But she's like, don't jinx it.
That was off one tape.
That was off the one tape.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah, I ended up booking it from there. And the process after that's all your agent stuff. They do all the negotiating and things like that.
That is absolutely fantastic. And so what were you working on before that? Like, because I want to go back. Actually, let's take it back to like when you got started. Like where you came from, like what your first gigs were, who your first agent was, where they got you from there, blah 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 blah.
I came from my mother.
Right, as
her name's Stacy. She's a nice lady.
60% of people do, right?
Maybe, I guess,
more or less.
More or less, give or take.
If
my mom and dad had sex.
Okay.
And that's how I came about.
I've heard of. Yeah, I've heard that's how it happens.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen it. I've never
happen.
Seen it. Never.
Yeah,
done
I don't
it.
Think there's any real footage. I think it's just like, hey, this footage is out there. Trust me.
I know all they taught me in like health class was like, don't be fat, and I didn't listen.
Good. No, you can't. You'd have to. Yeah.
McDonald's is too good.
Oh well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Nugs with Caleb. Who doesn't want to go to that? Imagine if you were just like a fucking fitness freak. Then it'd be like kale salad with.
Wyatt.
Exactly. Right. Who would watch that? No one's going to click that. They're going to see yours right below and be like, no.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's watch some chicken nuggets. No, okay. Right. So,
you're from Atlanta.
I'm from Florida.
Florida. Excuse me.
Cut that out. Jeez. No one wants to be from Georgia right now.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Ooh, any right Georgians?
Back at it. I see some people being very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you hear like people who aren't even here, just like like people outside. Yeah, people looking over for the balcony.
No, I'm from Florida. I didn't start acting until I was like 18. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of started with I got involved in a TV production class in my high school when I was probably more like 16.
Were they like big in the entertainment field? Like, they just happened to offer some
literally
random
literally
like
our computer
class?
Teacher was just like, we need to like offer more like media stuff for our students. And they're like, well, let's start like a TV production class. So basically what it was is we were learning like Adobe, like the Adobe CS collection. And through that we had like Premiere Pro and Illustrator and like things like that. So while learning that and like editing and learning the whole software, we were also learning to like produce and like create content.
That's sweet. I had advanced algebra applications. Yeah, like that's the kind of classes we had.
Well, I was in a private school that like,
okay, got
they were
it.
Just like, we'll give them that, but let's teach them something cool.
Yeah, right. That's awesome.
So we did that, and like through that I was more of like the producer of the class. There was only six of us when we started. And I was like the producer, and we had like an editor and a creator and all this stuff. But I learned a lot about like creating stuff and how fun it was and like the process that goes into making one video or like now like one podcast.
Right.
It's like there's so much more than just like being like, let's talk and then put it online. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I felt
these guys.
Yeah, for real.
Woo. Yeah.
Woo. Anyway, so I fell in love with like that whole the entertainment and creative business like in that moment. The acting kind of came about because there was a production that was filming in my hometown in Florida, and it was like it had a good budget. That movie never got finished.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But I volunteered to get like community service hours. I was like PAing on set basically to get community service hours. And they let me like kind of like shadow every department, like the grip department, the electric department, the camera department, like with like the actors and like different things like that. And I got to shadow the director on one of my like last weeks, and they needed a role filled. He was like, oh, we're gonna add this role. And he's like, well, I heard him talking about it. And then he was just like, Caleb, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Like, do I have to say anything? And he's like, yeah, you're gonna say this one line, but he's like, it's super like simple, blah blah. So I was like, okay. And I did it, and like it wasn't like anything. It was like literally like I was like, hey kids, like get out of here. Like I was like a delivery boy for like a
and you're like, I fucking pastry store. That.
Yeah,
like, you're like, oh, what's
you know
the
what it
thing?
Was? I had a box full of like pastry things. And they would like, they hit me and like it flew in the air. And it was like this big moment. And I yell at them. And I was like, they would be like, cut. And then I would think like, oh, I got to get all this back in this box. And they're like, a bunch of PAs ran in like cleaning it up. And I was like, they're like, no, you can sit down in this chair and wait for the next steak. And I was like, this is cool. I was like, this is a lot less loyalty.
Yeah, this is a lot less effort. Yeah, you just drops. Now in real life, you just drop a glass and you're just like,
yeah, anyone gonna get that? Yeah, I dropped a plate and I was like,
yeah, someone's got to get this. Someone's going to get injured.
Yeah, somebody else has got to do this.
Isn't that lovely?
It was. It's funny that that's the reason why I was like, oh, acting seems cool.
Right. Here, watch this. Hey, guys, can you guys get me a water? I'm kidding. I don't need... No, we're fine over here.
At least you got one friend.
Everyone knows. I think I just got a bunch of middle fingers, man.
You got middle fingers and one friend that was like, yeah, I'll get you that water.
Yeah, someone's dick came out.
Oh, well, that's...
Well, that was for what me. What the fuck, guys?
That was a different story. Anyway, so that happened, and I ended up going to some like acting convention or whatever, and ended up taking classes in Orlando, learning for about like a year and a half.
So it was that one line of pastries just getting fucking barraged at you, and you're like, "This is the career for me." People clean up my pastries, and I just say words.
No, it was like what it was. I think was just the idea of being like, I always like had fun creating content, and that happened, and I was like, this could be interesting. Like this could, and I thought I was gonna play sports all my life. Like I played golf since I could walk, and I was like, I'm gonna probably play golf. I'm probably gonna golfing play golf
the entire
my whole college, and then like I hope to go pro and play golf my whole life.
The professionals,
yeah,
make it to the major weagues.
The major. I don't like all these puns.
But we'll just keep it going the entire time. So you thought you were going to play golf. You must have been a pretty damn good golfer.
I wasn't bad back you were really like, good. In high school.
You were probably insanely good.
Not really good. I didn't get any offers to go to college. And that was what I was kind of banking on. No, because I wasn't yet. Like, the golf was what I was hoping for. And it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody wants to be like everyone's first love. Like, I wanted to be a football player. And it was And my dad was like, Wyatt, like, you know how tall you are, right? And
you
I
could
was
be just more like the football, not
right. I could player. Be getting punted through some crossbars. That would be sick. That's where my mind was at. I was like, one of these days, someone's going to give me a shot at that ball, and I'm just going to kill it.
I'm going to be that ball one day.
I'm going to be that ball.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was like one of those things where I was like, I'm not going to play sports in high school.
Right, right. Everyone has that hard realization.
Yeah, and so I took classes for like a year and a half, and my teacher helped me get an agent in Atlanta.
Your a teacher from school?
Yeah, like an acting coach. One of my acting teachers.
Right.
In this like class that I was taking, helped me kind of apply and get this agent in Atlanta, and they kind of took a chance on me, like this young agent named Jacob, which I'm currently signed with now, still in Atlanta. He runs Atlanta stuff. He kind of took a chance on me. It was one of his first clients, and we booked a movie. Like, he sent me my first audition within, like, that day or maybe the next morning. I had taped for it, and then, like, the following day we got the offer, and I was filming a movie in, like, 3 days.
So you signed with him, and then 3 days later you were, like, on set.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It was, like, yeah, it was quick.
Well, that's how you do it, everyone. You just get an agent, and then you just get, and then you just book the first thing. It's that. Why is it so difficult? I don't know what's so complicated about this business.
I was very blessed and fortunate to have that happen. It was a very small role. Like, it was only, like, a two-liner in this indie feature. We shot it in Asheville, North Carolina. But it was cool. They paid for me to go.
I was just going to ask. Wow. Like, and you're like, I picked the right profession. Like, now people are driving me places.
Way easier
flying.
Than high school.
Like, oh, yeah. Right. Right. This is the real world.
Yeah, for real. It was great, though. It was a cool experience. And now that agent currently owns the business, owns that agency.
Whoa.
And I'm one of his top clients.
Thanks to
the
you.
Southeast, and we're kicking it.
That's awesome. So where did you go from that first role? Did you just keep getting stuff through this guy and booking?
Yeah, so that was like my first indie. And then, you know, a lot of people don't understand, but we audition hundreds of times that you don't have hear a clue anything. That we did. Like, there was a point where I'd go to the movie theater and every movie that was out, I had read for or had callbacks for or been pinned for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was close. Oh, I was close to that one. Oh, I was close to that one. Every movie for like weeks. I was like, yeah.
When was this?
Probably like maybe 2 years ago.
That's crazy. There was like
a
point
where I was like, I had read for every single one of these movies. Because a lot of stuff was shooting in Georgia. And at that time, my career in Georgia was like doing really well. And
so was that just through the agent that you got?
Yeah.
And was there something that you were doing as well to like expand your network or at least to get his reach? Because I'm imagine when he started, because like you said, he was new. He didn't have those types of connections to get you into those like big doors, right? Was there something that he was doing, or
he was young and hungry when he started the company. So it was like, or when he bought the company. So he expanded and made these like relationships with these casting directors personally. And then what I was able to do was just do good work by sending in good tapes and going to these callbacks and meeting these casting directors and like booking through them. Like one of my features after the first one was Goosebumps, which had Jack Black and Dylan Minnette and all those guys in it. And I booked that through them as well. And once I booked that feature, being a studio, like, I think it was like $80 million budget movie. Yeah.
Holy cow.
It was stupid. But once I did that, a lot more doors opened up and people were like, oh, this kid is like new and funny and he's doing good work and people are like noticing.
Right.
So it was like a little mix of like me putting in good work and him also just like really hustling and making these connections himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when I was in Florida, I would drive up to Atlanta, which was a 6-hour drive from like my doorstep to downtown Atlanta.
Okay.
I used to go to callbacks in Atlanta all the time, and I would drive 12 hours in the day. I would drive up there and drive back in the same day.
Dude, that's crazy.
So he didn't have to sleep anywhere. He didn't have to worry about anything. For about a 10-minute time in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I spent about 10 minutes in Atlanta and I'd get back in the car, fill up the tank and head back home.
Like, oh my gosh, bro.
That was just a normal, that was like a weekly occurrence for a long time. And I say that saying that like I was reading for a lot of projects.
Like, was there a point in there where you're like, I need to just get out there. Like, I just need to move out. I can't do the 12. I mean, that's where my brain would go. I think if I did two, I would be like, fuck.
I was like, my thing is, like, everything I ever knew was Florida, so, like, I was living with my family, like, all my best friends were in Florida. Like, I wasn't ready mentally to leave home yet.
Right.
And then, you know, fast forward, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Of you doing of that? Me of doing you going Atlanta the back stuff and forth? And
booking, holy you know, cow. I was booking movies like, I did Fist Fight. I did a movie called Logan Lucky. What are some of the other ones I did in Atlanta? Filmed a couple other movies in Atlanta that were like studio feature films. And after that, the time came where instead of being like, hey, I think I should move to Atlanta, it was like, I think I outgrew Atlanta already.
Holy moly.
I think it's time to move to LA.
Man.
So I made that decision and then saved money for a year after I made that decision. Like I told my parents, I was like, hey, I think I'm going to move to California.
Like in a year, like you gave yourself a
year
time. Yeah,
I was like, I want to move there. Like the moving there is going to happen. I was like, I think I need about a year to save up money. Because being naive in it, like living at home, not really paying for anything, I was like, oh, I'm going to move to LA with like a year's worth of savings working like some acting jobs or like job, like here jobs little there and there, and like Florida, like I worked at a Firehouse Subs or something to like make some money. I thought that was enough, and that money went very fast when I moved out here.
Man, that's crazy.
Between like deposits for apartments and like
LA living stuff. Los Angeles, for a turkey sandwich.
Very quick. So but I made the decision. I was like, I'm gonna move, and it took me like over a year, because a lot of people, not that this is wrong to anyone listening that actually just was like, I'm going to go for it. I'm moving.
That's exactly what I did. So, no, and I'll tell you, it is wrong. That is the wrong thing to do. I promise you, if you're like, I'm going to go in like 6 days, which is basically what I did. I was like, I'm going to LA. And both my parents, they're like, all right, well, you got to get a job and save up. And I was like, I will. And then it was like the time come and I was like, no, I have like $600. Like, I'll make it or whatever.
That's the thing. It's like, I said, I remember sitting down at my family's like dining room table and I like told my mom and dad, I was like, I'm moving. And I was like, but I can tell you one thing I'm not going to do is I was like, I'm not going to go out there and be a waiter. I was like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be an actor. And I was like, that's all I'm going to do. And that's why I'm going to wait and save up and go. I asked my father, and I'm very fortunate. I said, Dad, if I get in trouble, can I call you? I was like, my plan is not to call you other than just saying hi. But I was like, but if I do get in a bind, like, do I have somebody that I know is willing to help me? And I was like, it's an IOU. I was like, you'll get it back. And he said, yes. So I was like, I had that in my back pocket of being like, in case I get in trouble. I only had to call him. Like, I was living in like a $2,000, like one bedroom apartment when I first moved here.
Where was that? And how long ago was that? Oh, in Korea. How long ago was that?
3 years was in February, so like 3.5 years now.
Okay,
right on. Yeah, so I moved to K-Town. I was spending about $2,000 on a like small one-bedroom apartment. And I asked him for 1 month's rent. Like, there was 1 month in that first year that I was like, I didn't have enough money to cover rent. And I asked him for it, and I was able to book more jobs after that and like pay for it. But I never had to wait tables or like, which is like good and bad to people. People are like, oh, you don't understand the struggle. And I'm like,
why? Like, you're digging your own grave by saying that's like, that would be like, I mean, like I said, I didn't save any money. Like, I just came out here, and like, now that you're saying that, I'm like, wow, I wish I was like smarter. You know, I wish I was smarter and like I took my time to move out here. Cause it's like when you move out here and you're like, you have to get a job, it's like you're immediately putting yourself back long time.
That too. And like, I moved out here with a resume that was already 2 pages long.
See, yeah.
Like, I already had like 15, like 16 movies, like 5 to 10 TV shows. Right. Like, I already had that as a resume. So I wasn't moving out here like empty handed. I was moving out here like, oh, this kid can book, and he has movies playing everywhere already. So like, he's not the new kid on the block. He's just a new kid to LA.
Right.
All these producers and people knew who I was already. So I wasn't moving out here without that in my hand as well, which a lot of people are just like, I'm going to go for it with zero resume, zero money, and zero direction. Mm-hmm. And I have 100% respect for the leap of faith. But if you're going to do that leap and expect it to happen overnight, you're wrong.
Right.
And like, where I'm at today is not where I like want to keep growing, and I still plan to keep growing. Because when I moved out here, where I am today is still not where I said I was going to be.
Right.
Like, so you have to understand that it's a process and it takes time, but like, it can and it will happen as long as you stay longer than everybody else. Because people will go broke and get sick of waiting tables and be like, no, I'm going
to
go home.
Oh, exactly. And that's what happens every time. It's like trying to balance this. I mean, you're literally working 2 jobs, if not more than 2 jobs. You know, you're doing your job to make you money, and then you're pursuing acting for full time, which sometimes is more than full time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's an unlimited amount of time to growing something that's this large of a scale. Exactly. But what was the transition like going from Atlanta to LA, like as far as like representation goes?
Well, my agent in Atlanta knew my current manager. Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Word. Let's get back in.
Okay. my agent in LA knew my manager now.
Clients. Okay. So before you moved, you had established an agency out here?
I hadn't yet. All I had was a meeting. So
that was through your agent from
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Okay. I sat down with my Atlanta agent. And I said, "Hey, I'm going to move to LA," and he was like, "Okay, I have a couple clients with this manager out there. I think she's great. We work well together. Wouldn't be a bad look." So I went out there. When I moved out here, I had a meeting with her like a couple days after I moved and got settled in, and then I met with her, and I love her. Her name's Christy. Works with a company named S&C Management. And yeah, I met her. She was like, "You know, I understand that you probably have more meetings with managers, but I'm really interested in repping you." She's from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nice.
Like, she gets where I came from. Had my best interest in mind. So I said, like, "No, I'm good." I was like, "I think we can work together." And we did. And we then, probably about a week or two after I had signed with her, we booked a movie together out here.
Which one was that?
This is a movie called Where's the Money that's on Netflix, I think.
You know, track, yeah.
It was that movie was an interesting one.
Why do you say that?
It was my first movie out here. I'm not going to get into too many details about it, but just a lot of learning experiences, I think, from that movie. I have a great reputation on sets. Like, I don't put my nose where it shouldn't be.
Right.
And that one,
you're clearly like such a really hard person to get along with. And yeah, you're clearly just a diva in general. Like, right. Like, you paint your toenails and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's just like a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's just a whirlwind of emotion.
There's so many problems with this guy. There was just some stuff on that set that was like, it was an indie at the time. It had, you know, YouTubers as the leads. Nothing against
Say
YouTubers.
No more.
I live with one.
But
it had YouTubers as the leads, and it was just an interesting set.
Okay.
But it was cool. I had met one of my now co-stars, Retta, on that. Retta's in Good Girls. I got to hang out with Terry Crews. He was on the set, Josh Brenner from Silicon Valley.
This was from that movie?
They were all in this movie.
Oh, nice.
So it was cool. I made some cool friends and got to work with like Method Man. He was in it from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, yeah. There's an actor who's known that well. I was like, Daniel Day-Lewis?
He's the Method Man.
Method Man.
He's really Method. It's right. So it was cool. I mean, it was an experience that I will never regret, but it wasn't my best experience.
Okay.
I think the movie's well. I never watched it, but
okay. So that bad?
I think it did well. I just didn't have an interest in the movie.
Yeah.
I respect the fact that they made a movie. One thing me and my current co-star Logan Lerman talked about was any movie that's made should be respected.
Of course. If it gets done,
it's extremely hard to make a movie.
Right.
So I have a lot of respect for those guys to make a movie.
Yeah, and just to complete something is like,
yeah.
I mean, you know better than most, like the work that goes in on every end.
Yeah, it's a process, and I respect everyone involved in that.
Right,
movie.
Right.
It just wasn't my best experience.
Cup of tea. Right. And so what did you do from there?
That we went on to film. I'm gonna be honest, I really don't remember.
It's all good. But you were just staying busy. You just kept shooting.
Yeah, I booked a couple notable things. I had booked a role in the show Good Girls on NBC. That shot in Atlanta. So I actually booked the first season out of Atlanta. Went to Atlanta and I shot the whole first season over like the span of like 3 months or so.
That is awesome. Who do you play in that? I have yet to see that show.
I play a character named Tyler. Tyler is a security guard at the grocery store that they rob in the first season, and that gets them into this whole mess. And then one of the main characters also works at. So I'm like there with her the whole time.
Okay, got it.
So yeah, I filmed the first season in Atlanta, and then we got picked up for a second season, and they moved it out here to LA. So that was nice. It was filming like here at Universal at the back lots there, which is right down the road from my house.
Oh, nice.
So I was able
to
go over there, and we shot the second season, which is out now. We're actually only have two episodes left of this season. And then we just got picked up for a third. But
Dude, that
all happened. The first season happened after, like, shortly after that movie.
After
my like one of my first yeah, movies yeah, out yeah. here. The first season kind of happened. And then
What was the Summer of 84? What was that about?
I booked a movie called Summer of 84. It was an indie movie that was really about these like four kids that like during the summer wanted to like have an adventure in their hometown of Ipswich. There was this like
Ipswich. What is that? What is Ipswich?
Ipswich. It's in it's a real place. Somewhere near Boston, I think.
Okay.
But there's this like murderer kind of going around killing these boys that were around the ages of like 15 to 16 years old, just murdering them, and that was like happening throughout the town. And
this is a true story?
No. This is just for the movie. And then I play one of the four boys that we decide to see if we can figure out who this guy is, and we were all like 16-year-old boys. So the movie just is like us on our adventure to figure out who the murderer is, and it went to Sundance last year, not this one, but the last Sundance. We premiered at Sundance, which was an incredible experience, and did pretty well. It's on Shudder right now, exclusively. It just released on Netflix in Europe.
Oh, damn!
And it'll be on Netflix, I think, within like the next year or so. Here,
because I saw that movie like crushed it at Sundance.
It had a lot of buzz. Yeah, it had a lot of buzz. It wasn't purchased at Sundance.
Yeah.
Shudder later came and got the rights to it for like a 2-year deal, exclusively for their platform.
Streaming or whatever.
Yeah. Because Shudder is like a horror film like streaming service.
Okay. Yeah.
So they have like all like the big horror films.
Nice.
So we're there now. But yeah, we didn't get purchased, but it was a lot of, like there was a lot of buzz around our movie. We sold out every night that it showed. Which it was just wild.
That's incredible, man. Yeah. That's incredible.
It was fun. I got to play the lead, like one of the leads of this movie. So it was an experience to be. I think I was like number 3 on the call sheet or something like that.
So what do you do right now? Or like, are you still studying? Is that something you're still like actively pursuing? Or are you just like working so much that that's basically your class?
Well, I study a lot differently than the norm, I think. The norm is like to go to classes and like be there once or twice a week for 4 or 5 hours a day. I'm a very visual person. So like one thing I used to always hate, and it was a little bit of hate and a little bit of like I really didn't learn like this, was like when you'd be in a class and a teacher would be like, all right, so like you and you do this scene together. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, I'm not going to really learn by doing it more. I'd learn a lot more watching. I'm very observant. So like if I can watch somebody do it and then see how you pick them apart and understand, like I actually will know, I'll learn more from that. So I learn more from like watching videos or like watching master classes and hearing a talk and seeing other people do it and taking that in towards me. That's my best way of learning.
Right.
So I'm actively doing that. Like often, anytime, you know, I can find something like worth it to do. And then I watch a lot of movies that I study. Like I just watched Seth Rogen's new movie, Long Shot.
Oh, how was that?
I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
I'm putting it up there in my rankings.
Really,
favorite Seth Rogen movies. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's a different movie, but it's really, really, really good. And I study him a lot and watch how he does things and his creative process. But I'm not currently in classes, no. But I probably will after I finish this show that I'm shooting in New York. Once that wraps up and I'm good to go, which will be probably like more like August, September. I'll probably get into like a good comedic class here in LA.
How many episodes are in that?
It's 10.
10
episodes total.
Okay. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And what is it that you're doing to like progress forward? Like, are there people that you want to work with in particular?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely just like making sure that whatever I do is on the same pathway as what we like to see my career go.
And what is that exactly?
Well, a lot of times, like, you get pushed into, and I just had this experience recently with an audition that I wasn't able to even do. It was very frustrating. As a creative actor, getting told you can't do something is like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you haven't seen me try.
Yeah, right.
So there was a movie that, or I think it was a movie that I wanted to do, and the director, which I won't say, but he, the director and casting director, didn't believe that I was like street enough, like
streetwise, right?
And so I didn't even get to audition for it. They were just like, we've seen him before. We just don't think he's like street enough. And they might be right. They have their own right to say that. But not letting me try was a blow.
Like a slap in the face.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't want to get categorized as like this, like, oh, he's just a funny guy. He's just that like curly headed funny dude that's in like every other movie that's just like the punch jokes here and there. Like, I don't want to get trapped into that.
Of course.
So like the movie or the show that I'm doing now, it's a dramatic show. It's very dramatic. So I enjoy playing this more serious character. Like, I still have my funny moments.
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's not a funny show. It's
isn't that funny? It's deep. Like you like almost fiend for the things that like you're not. Like,
yeah.
It's like your dream roles are those types of
when you get like an audition and it's like, oh, it's like the character is goofy and funny and like he's just that like chubby friend, and it's like I get that and I'm just like, all right, cool. And like there's not a lot of thought that goes into it.
Of course.
Just like, oh, this
you
is
can
me.
Play that every day.
That's just me. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm just like, okay, this is just me reading whatever you tell me.
Right, right.
It's the roles where it's like, you know, you just killed your mother, and like you have to like, you're very emotional.
Sex with her
like,
dead body, right? It's just I know what you mean.
It's funny that you say that, but that was a real audition.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A real audition was I killed. I had like some mental problems, this character did, and I killed my father, and to my mother coming in and seeing that, to where I end up killing her and having sex with her dead body.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As
it happens.
That's just another Thursday.
Just
but like
I know, man.
No, it was that
know,
role.
Man. It's
was
like, oh, we're here
dark.
Again. Right.
That role was dark.
But that's like the shit that blows your balls off, you know, where you're like, wow, this is something that is going to scare me and challenge me, and it isn't just
exactly.
me being the sidekick. I know we were talking about that earlier. Like, we were talking about Matthew McConaughey. We might have to bleep his name out later, but when he was, you know, it's like he played the same role in rom-coms for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that's exactly who he is those movies. But then you get the one Dallas Buyers Club, and that's really like, as
yeah.
weird as it might sound, that's like the role that matters. Cause
yeah.
like you can't blow the other ones. You can't like,
yeah.
like you said, they require no thought process, but it's like you're given that one shot, and that's whether to like test your merit. That's like, is this guy like an actual actor? Is he an artist, or is he just like a one-trick pony who just does himself in every role?
You are you gonna go down as like a legend, or are you just
exactly,
gonna go down
exactly?
Like,
and
oh,
that's
that
what
guy.
And
like,
that's what sets you up for any other role that you want to do. You know, right after that, he did True Detective, which was completely different, but just as hard, if not harder. You know, so
yeah.
it's like that's really when. And then, of course, then he started getting nominated for everything. He was in Wolf of Wall Street. You know, so it's just like those are really the roles that matter and like that break the mold. And unfortunately, it's like, yeah, you kind of have to. I mean, again, we were also talking about like Eddie Redmayne doing Theory of Everything. You know, it's like, I'm
yeah.
sure he had done a lot of work before that, but nobody knew who he was. And then he did that. And like, of course, there are those people who get incredibly lucky, and like their first like actual studio role or whatever is something like with that much depth. And of course, he wins.
Yeah.
And now for the rest of time, he'll be looked at as like a very serious actor or whatever he wants to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
he can do whatever he wants to do. And it looks like he is, which is what we all aspire to do, you know, but it is tough because, I mean, on the flip side of that, it's like we all think we can play all characters.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I think that's, for me, that's like a healthy relationship, you know, is like to, you know, to kind of have that arrogance, like, oh yeah,
yeah,
give me anything. Like I'll give it a shot. And that's why when somebody tells you like, oh, you're not streetwise enough, or you're not like something that like, you can at least give it a really good shot at. It's like that is a total just cock slap, you know? It's like that's really
yeah.
just that pisses you off because it's like, no,
well,
you're testing my talent.
You yeah, and you want to try as much. As an actor, we try to be as creative as we can. So it's like we want to try. We want to be allowed to try everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for casting directors, a lot of respect for directors and producers, and what they want is what they're going to get. So the best I can do as an actor is to try to give them my version of their character. So like if somebody's like, oh, we want this, like the best challenge I can do is give you what I can bring to that person.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to be that person. I'm trying to show you what I can do for you for that character.
Right, exactly.
And see if maybe like we, like as a collaborative process, we can make that character exactly what you wanted.
Exactly. In a way. Exactly. And it is sad because casting directors are like the least creative people, and that's why people get like typecast all the time. Yeah, you know,
well, they're like, just used to you doing that. So it's like, of course, me, going in every like other day and it's being like, oh, he's got like four or five lines in the scene and they're just like punch jokes the whole time. Casting directors are just like,
he's good at
there
that.
Was a point in here that I was able to go into these rooms that these people have cast me in, and I knew that I was always going like that I would crush it and they would love it because I was confident enough to be able to play those characters. So I wasn't too, like, you know, worried about going in to do those. The ones that are fun are the ones that you're like, I don't know if I can play this guy.
Exactly, exactly.
Or being like, I'm not what they're looking for, but this is going to be interesting.
And those are always the ones where you walk out and you're just like, well, didn't get that one. Like,
there's some that I should have probably got that I've walked out. Oh. Like, they've been perfect for, like, my look and, like, style and everything, and I've just been like, well, fuck that one up.
Yep,
like,
completely blew that. And yeah. What's ironic is, like, most of the time when you're like, wow, that was terrible, those are the ones, like, you get callbacks for, and, like, the first thing you do is like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what did I do right?
You don't know. They have their own process, they as do we, so.
They do. No, that's so true, and that's, like, a very, like, healthy way of looking at it, because you it's like to. You there is that, you know, it's like
you gotta look at it that way. You gotta forget what you just did
and just throw that shit away.
Don't get caught up.
Right. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what the process was with signing with Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And like what was the, was that something that they reached out to you once you did something, or was that kind of mutual? It was like, hey, we know who you are. And
No, these agencies, any of these like top 10 agencies really have a certain way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to sign, you know, they want like a CAA, William Morris, like UTA.
Mm-hmm.
They want Paradigm or Innovative. Like, those guys, they want them. That's not necessarily the best fit for you as an actor.
Especially at the time and the place that you're at.
Yeah, exactly. You don't... It's all about timing for everything. So, like, for instance, my career is good. I think I have been working quite a bit, and I continue to grow, and there was a time where I was like, I need to be with like a CAA or UTA. Like, I'm ready, I am booking, like, I have a TV show that I could offer that I'm like on already. Like, there's no reason they shouldn't want me. They didn't want me.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah. I remember you telling me that a few months ago, and my jaw dropped because we were talking about, again, I hope it's okay to be mentioning these names. Yeah. I don't see why it would hurt. But like Gersh. Yeah. You know, I remember you telling me you were trying to get into Gersh and how they wouldn't even look at you. And I was like, I was just in there last week. I was like, there's no way. I was like, I am wasting my time. Like, well, I am wasting my time going in.
The thing is, my manager was like, you know, doing her bit and like getting, like trying to get me these meetings set up, because how those agencies work is like what you're really fighting for is to get a meeting.
Of course.
You have to get a meeting with an agent. An agent has to sit down and give you the time to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
Then from that process on, I know this is how it works at the majority of them, the top ones. Then they have to like be like, okay, and they have to like you. And then they have to pitch you to the team, the entire team of agencies. And then they all have to agree. Because how those work is really all those agents work for you in that company. So they all have to agree, and then they can be like, okay, yeah, we would like to sign you. Not knowing if, like, say that was CAA, not knowing if you went to William Morris or UTA or, you know, wherever else.
Right.
Because you could have went to all of them, and they could all have the same result, being like, oh, we want him. And it's like, well, then you pick. You really have to pick, and you have to pick quickly. So how it happened was I had met with Gersh and the agent that I met with Gersh, I really liked her. And
for those of you who don't know, Gersh is like probably in the top five biggest agencies in the world.
They're ranked like four, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. They're huge. These guys are huge. Like, you walk in, you get thrown out by a dude named like Tamal, and he's like 6 feet tall. And
yeah, it's a big one.
Plus another 2 feet, because 6 feet isn't that tall.
Six feet, he's like eight feet tall.
It's tall for you, probably. Yeah. That's like a head and a shoulder. Like another person on top of me.
No, so I met with Gersh, and I'm sure they have their reason. Well, their reason was they said they didn't have, I think I can say this, and I'm not offending anybody. They said that they didn't have the time to put in for me, where my level was compared to what they would need to do to try to elevate me to the next level.
Right, not just like keep.
They didn't want to shelf me like happens to a lot of people that sign. Like, yeah. A lot of people get signed to these big agencies that you're like, how's that guy signed by UTA or whatever? And it's like, because he knew the guy. Like, the guy did it as a favor.
And right? That's such a refreshing thing to hear you say is like, and it goes with auditions too. It's like, you could walk out and be like, oh, fuck these guys. Like, they don't know good talent, blah, blah, blah. Like, what I wonder, like, what was wrong with me? Was I too short, too fat, too skinny, too whatever, too light skin? And like, I'm sure more often than not, it's like, oh, we would love to use that person, but we can't because of this reason. Exactly. Like, or the time, especially with an agency. It's like him that we right. And that's like a very refreshing thing to hear. Cause like what you think the worst thing, which is like, oh, they hate me. Like, oh, I screwed that up.
When in reality,
exactly. Like, it could be like, man, in 1 year, like if this guy were to come back in 1 year with just a little bit more stuff or whoever, who knows?
You should never walk out of anything, an audition, an agent meeting, anything, and think that you're not good enough, because what we have is something we can offer.
We can make their job easier.
Every actor is different. Every actor has something new to offer, something fresh to offer, like something creative to offer. You're always good enough. You just might not be right at that time. But that doesn't mean like that you weren't a good enough actor, or you weren't like, you were too fat or you're too skinny.
Yeah.
Like, what you have is good enough. And like, I think that's important for people to understand. Like, if I can say anything like inspirational or whatever on this, is to understand that you are good enough. Like, it, don't get discouraged if you don't get the audition. Don't get discouraged if you don't get a callback. Don't get discouraged if that agent doesn't want you or those people won't take a meeting with you. There's reasons for everything, but it's not because you're not good enough.
Right. And that's also why, and I'm sure it's the same way with just artists in every field. Yeah. But it's like, if you don't even, if you don't have like that thick skin, like you don't have, or I hate to say it, but just like the self-confidence, you know, to be like, I am enough. And trust me, like, we are all in like very low places at a lot of different times, but it's like, you can never lose the fact that it's like, you are good and that you are talented and like X, Y, and Z, you know, you just, it's like, it, you have to just.
My worst enemy, they're good enough. Like,
right.
The thing is, like, everyone is. And it's like, it's not, you don't ever get discouraged. Like, if you're listening and you're like, oh, I want to be an actor and I want to, like, I really would like to get to that level, or I want to try to, like, follow those same footsteps. It's like, I was told no hundreds and hundreds. And if I could pull up my email for the past 5 years, you'd be like, holy shit, that guy's auditioned for a lot of stuff. And I have, and I haven't got it. And there's been projects where, like, I was like, I want this. And those projects probably no one knows and no one will ever know.
Huh.
But they were just projects that I was like, man, I like that script, or man, I like that role, like that character would challenge me. And I didn't get them, and those hurt. But I didn't walk away from it being like, man, I really messed up that audition.
Right,
I wasn't good
enough.
I was just like, they just didn't want me. I'm like, what I offered them, what I could offer them, I did my best. And what I could offer them, you're going to go to plenty of auditions and not do good.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah, yeah. I've been to an audition, I probably shouldn't say this on record, but I've been to one hungover. That was the worst mistake of my entire life, because I couldn't remember a thing that I was supposed to be doing. it was bad. And I apologize.
I'm sure that happens every single day.
But it was just people were in town and we got carried away. But it's just like, I don't know, the amount of times you'll go and you'll not get it, like, doesn't mean you're not good. It just means you're just not right. for right. that time. And I think everything is based on timing. Like, going back to what we were talking about, the timing wasn't right for Gersh. When Gersh said no.
Oh, thanks for bringing me back. I got lost. I was just like, yeah. The entire time. I know. Holy cow.
Gersh said no, but they said, we would love to talk to him after pilot season. I wanted an agent for pilot season. It worked out. I'm on a show right
now. Right.
And so I remember, like, we talked about it. My manager told me, and I told her, I was like, listen, I was like, that's great. But I was like, I'm signing with somebody before pilot season. I was like, we're figuring it out. I met with Abrams shortly after that. I was signed there commercially already with Abrams.
And that was through that same manager?
Okay. And, like, my roommate signed with them commercially, so we had, like, a little connect there. I signed with them commercially. I went on some stuff, and I kept pesting the commercial agent. I was like, hey, I should, you know, help me get that meeting over there on the theatrical side. And she was like, I'll ask around. That lasted, like, a couple months. Finally, it was like, hey, pilot season's coming up. I would love to get to meet with you guys, one of your agents over there on the theatrical side. And she's like, well, I got this one. His name's Rob. He would love to meet with you.
His name's, I don't know, Rob.
She just looked down the list. She was like, Rob.
I'm sure there's Rob one works. Here. This building's huge.
So she got me meeting with this guy named Rob Cassandro, and I went in and met with him and loved him, and he liked me, and our ideas for my career were along the same paths, and I was like, yeah, I like them. But again, it was like we walked out, and I was like, you know, they still all have to agree on me. And there's, like, you know, 15 of them there. So I was like, if one of them says no, we're still on the hunt to find another one.
Wow.
And so within, I think it was, they said, less than, like, a minute, they sent out an email that said, I just met with Caleb Emery. Like, he's seeking reps here. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think he's good. I think he's talented. I think we can really, like, get some work with him and really further his career. Within, like, 30 seconds to a minute, they all said, yes, sign him. And I got the call. I drove my manager. My manager came with me. I drove her back home, dropped her off. After I dropped her off, she immediately called me, and I was like, great, she forgot something in my car. She called me, and she was like, they've already agreed. They're like, they want to sign you.
Dude.
So we're going to go back in like a couple of days and, like, you know, finalize and do all the paperwork. Yes,
queen.
So it was like, it happened so fast, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I want them because they want me. And I was like, they're wanting to sign me. So we signed, and we had an interesting fact about that. My agent asked me, Rob asked me, where do you want to work? Like, just like a joke, like, we never can really pick where we want to work. Not at my level. Like, when you're like The Rock, I want to work in Australia. And it's like, cool, we have this movie that shoots in Australia next month. Here you go. For me, it was like, I was like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, I was like, Hawaii would be cool. It'd be a nice vacation. And I was like, but I've never been to New York. And he's from New York. And I was like, I've never been to New York. I was like, that'd be kind of cool. And he's like, okay, cool. And then, like, within a week, we got a call about The Hunt. And then we booked The Hunt. And he was like, remember, you asked me if you could film in New York, like something in New York. He's like, well, you're going to New York next week, so have fun. So I was up and been in New York for like 2 months now. So
holy moly, man. Yeah. Dude, that is so cool.
Went full circle. And I mean, Abrams is a great agency. The whole team there, I got to sit down with the whole team in New York. There's probably about like 30 agents or so between the two. They work really hard, and I'm really, really, really happy with those guys.
Dude, that is awesome, man. That is awesome. So, like, yeah, where do you want to work now?
Hawaii. That's
Hawaii? Cool. All right, Hawaii. No, like, you hear that?
I don't really know. Like, I don't know. Anywhere. It'd be really cool to shoot something here.
Wow. Like, imagine that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know. Well, it's funny. Try to imagine that.
I work with Logan, and he lives in L.A., and he said, he was like, I haven't worked in L.A. in, like, 15 years.
But still, the fact that he's
like, that's nuts.
Been in L.A. for 15 years is pretty nuts.
And I mean, he's born and raised.
Okay. But still, he's what, 27?
Yeah, he is, actually. That's perfect
27?
Age.
Whoa, that's wild. How old are you?
25.
25. Dude.
Yeah.
You're just a young gunshot out here just fucking killing ass.
I think it'll be a good next 10 years for us, too. That's a long time to say. But the next decade for actors...
A lot can happen in the next 10 years.
Say that because of this whole process of, like, Amazon and Hulu and Netflix and Apple and Disney having these streaming services. Like, they're pushing content every day.
So much.
So, like, as an actor, this is a great time.
There's so much more work than ever, especially, like, at that high budget level. Like, people are just, like, funding, like, left and right.
They're pouring a lot of money into it.
I know. And you think about it, even just like in the indie area, short films, dude. It's like, I mean, you could go on any of the casting websites right now, and within the last hour, there have probably been 100 postings.
Yeah.
Like, it's remarkable. People are making stuff.
So yeah. You can't get discouraged because there's stuff coming out every single day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know Evan here, we talk about like how after the superhero phase, it's going to go into anime. Okay. And we're like pretty strong believers. Yeah, that's our prediction right now. So like we're just trying to get in on that, like just really try to understand that. So it's like when you come in, it's like, I have no idea what this is, but you know, it's like, let me give this white guy a shot. You know, it's like, that's why, that way, at least if you have like the knowledge of it and stuff and you have a better understanding. So, I mean, that's just something like we're trying to follow up on.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll call you if that actually happens.
Yeah. If there's like, hey,
yo,
man,
you got it right.
We need this. We need this.
You knew the anime was going to happen.
Right.
How did you know?
Right. Yeah. So where do you want your career to go in like a year from now? Like in a year, what do you want to be doing? Like what do you want to have under your belt at that point?
I really want to shoot another movie this next year.
Yeah, what do you like doing more? Have you had better times?
I like both. I mean, a movie's cool because the creative process, like, so we're shooting a TV show that's 10 episodes and the first 3 episodes have taken us like 2.5 months.
Of course.
So like you shoot a movie in 2.5 months.
Right.
So like I like a movie because your creative process is different. But I really like TV. Like I feel like my career is in TV, but I like doing movies. So like for the next year, for a year from now, I would love to have done another movie in a significant role. Like I don't have to be the lead of the movie, but like something that would be cool.
That's something that would challenge you, obviously.
Yeah. It'd be cool to do a dramatic or like darker movie.
Right. But, real quick, what would you say is the difference, like creatively, like behind like your process between TV and film?
TV and film. Film is more of a collaborative, I think, process to make this movie what it could be. Where TV, depending on if it's network or it's not, like for network TV, I'll speak on that. Is more of a writer's realm, a writer-producer realm. So it's like you're trying to put out what, you know, they want and you're bringing this character to life for them. But like it is kind of like it's not as collaborative as far as like where it could go.
Right, and I hear writers are like the boss on TV.
Yeah,
they're like the ones,
are more
like
the
showrunner, right.
I've talked to a lot of directors and that have worked in network and that are even doing our show and they say like, you know, they are kind of just making sure it continues to move forward.
Yeah.
Like they're not really being like, oh, I really want to, let's try this.
And yeah, crazy exactly. This exactly. Like, they're just making sure
just like,
it's
like,
okay,
let's
this
keep
is
moving,
the same
guys.
Thing.
Like, let's keep
right.
going. Yeah. Let's make sure that my, like, you know, my, the takes are good and the lines are correct and we can move forward.
Got it.
Dude. So it's just a little different process.
Yeah. We are like out of time.
We're already out of time.
I know. Isn't that a fast hour?
We can do this. We can do
it. Dude,
like
I know. And
parts.
I'm like, oh my God, I have so many more questions. I have so many more questions. But
that
dude,
just means I'll have to come back. We'll do
yeah, that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Please, dude. Yeah. That was a blast. That was a blast. But dude, Caleb, thank you so much. I think everyone who watches this could benefit and like learned a lot. But it's just like your mindset towards the whole thing. I love it. Like just the positivity towards you that you have because it's like such a toxic relationship people seem to have like with the actors in the industry, you know. It's
just don't get discouraged.
Exactly.
Keep working hard and stay true to yourself and be solid.
All right, man. Well, we love you, dude. Thank you so
much.
Thanks
for having me, man.
Absolutely, brother.
Right on.
Till next time.
Beautiful.